Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Great music, bad bathroom. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to say hello to everybody. Thank you for listening, as always. And we really appreciate everybody who called in during the January period for their picks for 2023. And those who did, I want you to keep your eyes peeled on your email inbox. I'm going to be reaching out to get some mailing addresses because we've got a CD for you that I put together. And I hope you're going to enjoy it when you get it. A little bit of dubbing to do, and then we'll get those in the mail for you. Collect everybody's mailing address. And I hope everybody enjoyed those episodes. I really enjoyed them a lot. Got a whole list of music to listen to, and really had a great time with it. So thanks to everybody who contributed. That was much, much appreciated. Speaking of contributions, in the month of January, new albums come out. And I know we've been occupied with 2023 music, but we are going to have January new music. As Stephen Routledge says, the new music podcast train waits for no man, woman, creature, or being on this earth or not on this earth. We will roll it on with new music in January. Now, since we're doing Best of 2023 during the month of January, we'll give you a little extra time. We already have some submissions, so I thank you very, very much, Mr. Routledge included, of course. And I want to tell you that we'd like to get these picks in by February 11th. If you could do it by that Sunday, February 11th, I believe that might be Super Bowl Sunday. And the way you do that, of course, is to record a voice file and email it to rock@suburbspod.com, or you can dial up the Suburban Party Line and leave your message there, 612-440-1984. And finally, before we jump into today's topic, I want to say real quick that we are going to be starting up a new bracket contest like we did last year with the Greatest American Band. This year we're doing 1970s albums. Albums released in 1970. What's the greatest 70s album of all time? Had to be released in America in the decade of the 70s. Okay, and we are going to be announcing the bracket and doing a preview of everything tomorrow. So get your ears ready to listen to that. Now, on to today's episode. When we had our Suburbs Fest late last year in Washington, D.C., the D.C. Suburbs Fest, we traditionally carve out part of the time we're at the fest to do some podcasting. We have members of the community come up and talk about whatever they want. Last year, Mark Neese came up, and this ended up being episode 1722 of the podcast. He discussed a musical pilgrimage that he took, and he went to Europe and England, and he talked about going to Waterloo Station and seeing Waterloo Bridge and some iconic sites over there, and very, very interesting. And we got a reaction to that a while back. BJ Bonin sent in an email with a voice file attached, and he's got a story that you're going to hear today that I think you're really going to like. And if anybody else wants to call in and talk about a musical pilgrimage, we'd love to have it. We can do these randomly, periodically, from time to time, and I think it would be great. I don't have a tremendous amount of stories about pilgrimages. I did drag my family once, I'll tell you really briefly, on a trip that I wanted to take when the offspring were younger. I believe our youngest offspring was only about 3 or 4 years old at the time. And I wanted to take them to some places that I'd never been. I had never been to Graceland. I'd never been to the Grand Ole Opry. I'd never been to Sun Studio. And so we planned a trip where we drove from our home here in outside of Washington, D.C., and we went down to Dollywood first. We all had a great time at the theme park there, and the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, or part of it, is on the grounds of Dollywood, so that's included in your ticket. So I was able to enjoy that. And then we went to Nashville, Tennessee, and we went to the Grand Ole Opry, and we went to a museum down there. Then we went to Memphis, Tennessee, and went to Graceland, went to Sun Studio, went to the Civil Rights Museum, and saw the Lorraine Motel and things. And our kids were pretty young, so they were kind of bored. I was dragging everybody around. But our middle offspring, MJ, to relieve, I guess, boredom, started ranking the bathrooms of every place we stopped, like from 1 to 10, which bathroom is the cleanest, is the nicest, etc., from the hotels to the restaurants to everywhere. And the bathroom that got the lowest ranking, a 1 out of 10, was Sun Studio. So, great music, bad bathroom. I don't know if Sam Phillips ever got that complaint in his lifetime while they were working there, but I thought that was pretty funny. Story of my pilgrimage. And everybody survived, and we speak fondly of it now. So with that, I would invite anyone who wants to talk about a musical pilgrimage they took. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you, BJ, very much. And glad we were able to get to this call, because it's been sitting around for a little bit. So we appreciate it. And here he is, BJ Bonin. Take it away.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Patrick. Hello, Rockin' the Suburbs listeners. This is BJ Bonin calling from Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha, everyone. Where I'm at, out here working on an environmental project. So I'm calling in response to Mark Neese's fine idea of musical pilgrimages, and I've got a story that I find hilarious, and I hope the listeners will appreciate. Back in the year 2000, I was in this band called Trampoline, and we were making a swing through the East Coast, and we had 3 gigs booked in New York City. It would have been 4, except CBGB's wanted us to play the 313 Gallery, which was next door, and that required the drummer to either use brushes or hot rods just to keep the volume down a little bit, and our drummer steadfastly refused. So we turned down the offer. Anyway, so we're in New York City. We get, we had an off day and 3 gigs, so we had 3 full days and a half day to kill in the fine city of New York. So on one of the days, after lunch, I mean, we're musicians, we probably got up at lunchtime, we decided to make our pilgrimage as a band to CBGB's. So the 3 of us walked down, or took the train over from Brooklyn, where we were staying, into the Bowery, and walked over to CBGB's and walked in the front door, and Hilly was there, and he told us to get the hell out because they were closed. So we tried to explain. He said, go next door. And so we went into the next door, which was the 313 Gallery, where we were supposed to play. So we didn't actually get to go into CBGB's proper. We went in next door. But this is where it gets funny, at least for me anyway. The place was empty except for a bartender, who's also a merch person, because that's where they also had the CBGB's merch table. And the booking person, whose name was Micheline. This was 2000, so, you know, cell phones were around. And, our band had one, but we never used it because it was too expensive to use. So it was like for emergencies only type of thing. Anyway, so we get our beer and we're sitting there looking around. We're all kind of bummed we didn't get to go next door and just to see the place. But our attention was drawn toward Micheline, the booking lady, who was putting on a show at the end of the bar. What I mean is she had 2 landline phones. We're talking landline with cords, the whole works, the square looking ones with the punch buttons, I don't think they're rotaries. And she was working both of those phones simultaneously. Now, for those listeners out there who've never either booked gigs or have been in bands that need to do this, in order to get shows, Nowadays, you just fill out either an online form or send the venue an email and ask for certain dates, and they may or may not ghost you. If they don't, they will either respond with a yes or a no, or an alternative date or something like that. And this could be for dates anywhere a couple months in advance to even a year in advance if it's like a special occasion. But in the 90s and early 2000s, you would actually call the venue and the booking person was there, and they would go over their calendar, which is usually in either on the wall or in someone's notebook, and go over the different dates. And this is what Micheline was doing with two phones, talking on both phones at the same time to different parties, holding the one on her shoulder while she was writing stuff down on the on her calendar and in her notebook. And so we were listening to these conversations of, oh yeah, we can book that. That sounds really good. Yeah, do you have an opener? Blah, blah, hang on a second. And then the other phone would go, no, you'll never play here again after last time. Stop calling me. And then back to the first one. Oh yeah, how about these dates? This date. Hang on a second. Oh sure, can you hold? I'm booking someone else right now, and we'll be glad. Yeah, you can call back. Pencil it in for this date, and we'll be fine. And then back to the. And this went on for like 15 minutes, and we were in awe watching this woman juggle these two phones literally simultaneously, and. Finally, we finished our beers, we were about to leave, but we were kind of hanging around, and the guitar player, singer, front person, hardcore extrovert Andrew from our band said that we got to talk to her, and introduce ourselves. And we're like, whatever, she's kind of busy. But anyway, so we did. So we got this gap in the phone calls. Both phones were down and her pen was down, and she was like, man, some people. And so he went up and introduced himself, and he's like, "Hi, we're you don't know who we are. We're some nobody band from Minneapolis. We're called Trampoline, and we just want to stop in and say hi and introduce ourselves." And Micheline looked at us, and her face lit up, and she said, "Trampoline, the Trampoline," and the three of us simultaneously turned and looked toward the back of the bar like there was someone behind us, and then we looked at each other. It still cracks me up. Looked at each other, and I think it was me that someone said, I think it was me who said, "I guess." And she went on to say that she had somehow come across our unreleased at that point EP, and had it in her car, and she was digging it and was listening to it all the time. And as she said that, you could hear our drummer behind us with the sad trombone noise. Anyway, it all ended up fine, and we figured that out, So that was a story of our pilgrimage as a band to go to CBGB's. That was really, really funny. Anyway, and also quite impressive to see someone who's that good at what they do and literally juggling phones. To all the booking people out there, my hat is off to you. You have a thankless job, and it's really hard, you're appreciated. Anyway, that's my pilgrimage story. There's not really much to it. I just think it's hilarious. But it might just be me. Anyway, keep it up. I'm sorry I missed I'm sad to have missed both of the Suburbs Fest this year, because this Hawaii thing was pending, and man, it finally showed up. So here I am. So anyway, I can't wait to hear more for the rest of the stories, but I really like Mark Nace's idea of rock and roll pilgrimages. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4! the trampoline?